Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host right here on The Raw Deal, Revolution Radio Studio B, this 23rd day of February 2024, with John Carman as my co-hosting with me today, where John, the former Secret Service agent, customs agent, knows a lot about many subjects. We begin with the first story, top U.S. diplomat, hundreds and hundreds of new sanctions on Russia. Anyone who's been paying attention knows how that has played out in the past. It's been an utter failure. Russia is stronger today economically than it's ever been. And distrust of America for all these punishments has grown astronomically. A senior U.S. diplomat Thursday said the United States will impose hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sanctions against Russia in a new package marking the second anniversary of its full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, of course, said some of the sanctions will target those responsible for the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, but both will hit Putin's war machine and close gaps in existing sanctions. Nobody knows who actually brought about the death of Navalny, or whether it even could have been a natural death. So she's, of course, simply taking for granted a conclusion yet to be established. Mike Adams has astutely observed, suicide squad. G7 plan to steal Russia's frozen assets will utterly destroy the U.S. dollar. Get this. The G7 nations are plotting a new lawfare attack to steal Russia $300 billion in frozen assets, essentially declaring that the dollar and all Western bank will pillage and steal whatever they want. If this takes place, the rest of the world will panic sell U.S. dollar holdings and evacuate Western banks as quickly as possible, leading to a cascading collapse of the dollar in Western economies. Yet the sheer stupidity and arrogance of the West is now pushing G7 nations toward exactly this maneuver. I call it a suicide squad move, because if activated, it'll lead to the currency and economic suicide of Western nations. John, I'm just appalled by what's going on here. There seems to be an utter failure on the part of this administration, which is so eager to attack Russia, with regard to the consequences of actions they take for the United States itself and our economy. Your thoughts?
Well, it, as usual, the government lies about all this stuff. And what I was going to mention, I got several subjects we could talk about. But a lot of these people that you see on the news, like Blinken and any of these Air Force generals and all these other people, they've been authorized by the President of the United States, Biden, to lie. You may not have proof of it, But when they're in the administration, it's just like when Obama had all these people that were fired that were generals, upwards of 200. And they claim that those were the guys that were supporting Trump and so forth. There's so much finagling going on behind the scenes. It's like Pompeo. Pompeo will tell you, or even Barr, ex-CIA people, will tell you. They were brought up and under constitutional law and so forth, you know, not to lie, cheat, steal, and violate the law. When they go to CIA, and they did, they do the opposite. So once people get that in their mind, they have to understand, they have to screen out the intelligence, the data, the news media that I go through all the time, almost 24/7. I work so much on the computer, I get timed out sometimes because that's what Gmail's doing, and Facebook, by the way. And a lot of people are getting kicked off these other things. I think Navalny's name was brought up this morning, and they even Biden supposedly forgot the widow's name. They are running with that guy's death. Do you understand? They haven't even had an autopsy yet, and they're already inviting these people over and running with the story so they can use it. It's a propaganda machine all the way back to Langley. And yet, would you go to war because one guy died in a prison in another country? And yet we've got Americans dying in the streets. We got military resources sent to die in other countries for no real reason. And yet they're going to make a war over something. You see what I mean? Does that make sense?
Of course, of course. It's all propaganda, John. It's all propaganda. And Victoria Nuland appears to be the leading Russophobic in the world today, who has engineered, you know, the coup in Ukraine in 2014 using $5 billion taxpayer dollars to dump the Russia-friendly president and install a Western puppet, of whom Zelensky is a successor, and who began immediately bombarding with artillery barrages the people of the Donbass, Luhansk, and Donetsk, who are Russia-friendly, ethnic Russian, Russian speakers. It was, in fact, when Ukraine was on the verge of an all-out assault to slaughter the people of the Donbass, just as Israel is slaughtering the people of Gaza, yep, that led to the necessity for Russia's intervention in what Putin referred to as a special military operation, I think, to avoid both the words invasion and war, but of course, where there's been nothing but propaganda ever since, and where, John, I think Tucker's interview with Putin was really a bombshell, because you saw here was a guy completely stable, completely self-disciplined, highly, highly intelligent, extraordinarily knowledgeable, giving us a half-hour tutorial on the complex history of Eastern Europe and the creation, the fabrication of Ukraine, which includes parts of Poland, parts of Romania, parts of Hungary. We're reading between the lines. I infer that if Putin is forced to take all of Ukraine, as I believe he is going to be forced to do, that he may even return those parts to those countries and take what's rest for Russia, and there'll be no more Ukraine. Yeah. Get this, by the way, John, just as an ad before I return to you. U.S. officials see Ukraine as an active and bountiful military research opportunity. I mean, I thought we got over that with the biolabs. American officials speaking with the Washington Post described the ongoing war in Ukraine as providing Washington with ample information about Russian war fighting strategies. The report comes as Kiev struggles to field enough forces to prevent Moscow from capturing more territory. The war remains an active and bountiful research opportunity for American military planners as they look to the future, officials say, the Post reports. A senior defense official explains, we immersed them in this conflict to make sure they were understanding the implications for warfare. A second official told the outlet that Ukraine war would be an enduring resource. Can you imagine such absurdities, John?
Yeah, I was clearing my throat. I had to use the cough button, so to speak. Before I forget, Zelensky, Vladimir Zelensky, you know, the gay caballero from Ukraine with the biolabs, working for the CIA, working for Obama, working for all the bad guys in the United States, he's getting ready to go to the International Monetary Fund group, IMF. I used to protect the sheikhs, the Muslim leaders of the world that would meet on oil meetings for about a week at 12-hour shifts. My God, I hated that shift. It was 12 hours. You're standing on your feet. An ungodly Secret Service type of a detail. But that's why they pick all the young, healthy guys to go do it. But it's a wreck. But they're doing that, so they're still promoting the war. Now, you just touched something a lot of Americans who don't have background or training necessarily, I'm speaking to the civilians, basically, is that imagine this. They develop military weapons. I've lived on top-secret military bases most of my life for 20 years. I was born on a top-secret military base in 1953. But they have to develop these weapons so they can use them in a war. Then some guy, here's the joke, gets on the phone and says, yeah, get me to the secretary, like DOD secretary, and then say, hey, you know what? We got this great weapon you want us to develop. We got it finished now, and we've tested it, but we really need to test it on a live situation. No problem. I'll call the White House. Click. So that's how that works. So-and-so calls the commander-chief. Commander-chief gets back to his guys back at Langley. Langley sets something up in another country, and they come up with a false flag war, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on all the time. This is what they do. And then they spend tax slaves' money in the billions of dollars to throw around all kinds of armaments. What was the latest quote on a drone? I think it was an ungodly, you know, $10, $15 million for a special drone. We're not talking a small little toy drone. We're talking about big, gigantic-sized, airplane-sized drone that has capabilities for weapons, cameras, lasers, other top secret type weaponry, and so forth. And then they shot it down with a couple of $1,000 type missile. You know, even if it was $1 million missile, but not likely. $1,000 missile to throw away $14 million of tax slaves' money. So that's how that works. So it's constant. They're rotating, switching it back and forth so people don't get it. And they're going to keep doing it. You know, I mean, we're worried about the people dying. I've seen dead bodies. I know you've probably seen some stuff, too. It's not a pretty sight. I would rather I didn't see that. You know, like the joke, how do you unsee that thing? You know, people don't get it. And yet, let's see, I had some comments about people being dropped off at the border in San Diego. Fox News was covering that. Thank God.
I want to come back to that by and by, John. I want to stay in the Ukraine and the Middle East for the time being.
The Ukraine-Middle East stuff is just still going on. It's not going to stop. Putin, and I've been studying this stuff for years, and you know I had Russian guests on another show, and these guys were constantly feeding information back and forth, and at least I was the only one in the United States that had two active Russian people in the military, in the war zones, talking about current events and stuff like that. And then for some reason, you know, somebody decided to kick somebody off, and there was something about somebody had asked, the real truth of it is somebody asked if I got paid, and I said no, and these other guys decided to boycott the show. I said, well, that's their decision. I have nothing to do with that. I can't control them. But point is, that stuff's still going on. Putin's going to still get back his property. He's going to get back his land because it belongs to Russia. And I've never seen anybody argue the point to the opposite, saying, well, they went before the United Nations and Vladimir Zelensky has a sovereign country under the United Nations Charter. I've never heard that, ever. Have you?
No.
Well, then there you go. They've separated it like a satellite country. Remember that term back in the Cold War days, satellite countries. Where, yeah, it could be from Russia way back when in the 50s. So Poland and all the surrounding countries were satellite countries to Russia when it was communist. And that's how that worked that way. But eventually they've separated, and some Russians didn't like the politics in Russia, so they went to the Ukraine. They speak Russian. They're from Russia, but they're in the Ukraine. And some of the Ukrainian Russians actually decided to go back to Russia because of the politics that was going on before the war and during the war. So There's a lot of weird stuff going on. At the same time, Putin is still getting support to and from China, to and from Saudis. And I don't know if I mentioned, I think I may have on the last show, when you see Putin meeting with Mohammed bin Salman, the Saudi prince, they are laughing like they've got a big joke and they just, you know, are kidding around like the best of buddies and they're shaking hands and everything. And then when Mohammed bin Salman, MBS for short, meets with Biden, when they reach out to shake hands, he does the fist bump. He doesn't want to have any contact with the guy. You know, I'm surprised he didn't put glove on. But that's about the old
one. Yes. Well, who wants to meet with Biden? I mean, the guy is a phony, a fraud. He's fraudulently in office with a stolen election. Disgusting.
He's a fake president.
Live update. Israeli assault on Gaza's heritage exceeds Mongol ravages. This is from a Palestinian minister published in the Middle East Monitor. Absolutely horrific what's been going on here. Check this out. We have not only we have a rundown of events since 7 October through the 22nd of February. Israeli occupation forces continue to hinder and prevent aid from traveling to areas in northern Gaza, according to the UN. On 20 Feb, the UN's World Food Program announced it had halted food distribution in northern Gaza until safety conditions there improved after its trucks were targeted by Israeli tanks in the area. The entire population in the Gaza Strip faces an imminent risk of famine, according to the UN. Some 2.2 million Palestinians in Gaza are in urgent need of food assistance each day, and people risk dying of hunger. This is expected to get worse as funding for the UN Refugee Organization depletes. At least 29,410 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza, many more bodies lost in the rubble. About 70% of those killed are said to be women and children. 69,465 have been injured. Many people are missing, presumably buried under the rubble, waiting for rescue or recovery. Oxfam has said that on the average, 100 children are being killed every day in Gaza. Since the start of the ground operation, 235 Israeli soldiers have been killed. 1,396 have been injured, according to the Israeli military. Israeli officials have warned a ground offensive into Gaza's last remaining city, Rafah, where more than half of the displaced Palestinians have been taking shelter, could be launched during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan in early March. As a result, Palestinians have been moving west, fearing an invasion from the east. This is just so massive, so horrific, so awful. And get this, we have an Israeli minister telling the Knesset, "I am proud of the ruins of Gaza." Israeli politician Mei Golan once again disregards Palestinian life by rejoicing in the ruins of Gaza. Israeli Minister for the Advancement of Women, Mei Golan, has again displayed disregard for Palestinian life by expressing pride in the ruins of the besieged Gaza Strip, adding that every Palestinian baby will in the future tell their grandchildren what the Jews did. "I am personally proud of the ruins of Gaza," Golan said in a speech in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, on Wednesday, "and that every baby, even 80 years from now, will tell their grandchildren what the Jews said." John!
It won't stop. It'll just keep going.
How much more disgusting can you get?
Well, what they're doing is they've confined these people in the Gaza Strip originally. That's what they did. Egypt will not assist and let these people... They will not assist and let these people go over to their country to save them. So they're trapped. And I remember when I was at the White House protecting Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, and Jimmy Carter in 1977 for the peace talks, they were working on some sort of a deal where if something came down to it back in 77, that they could possibly give some land or provide land to these people. But right now, as I just told you a while ago, and I hate to break it back up, but you got Muslims coming into the country from other countries. They've already established places like up in Michigan. San Diego is second only to Michigan in Muslims. And I deal with Muslims, Chaldeans, and Syrians, and Iraqis, Iranians, all kinds of people. Somalis, you name it.
My other show, I can call you when I get a break.
Oop, sorry, you got a call there.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
What I was saying was is that all this stuff is adding up. It's going to be a massive slaughter. And you had the amounts right. It's about 2 million. And I've got an American guy that I talked to who's Jewish. He says he gets along fine with the Palestinians, the Muslims in his neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they're people. That's it. You just have to look at it, the basics. People are people, but now it's political. They're being, it's a political suicide or assassination or genocide is the right word. And Bibi Netanyahu has flipped. I'm not sure about his stuff before, but now it's just gotten worse. The president of Israel, I saw him once on the news just in the last week. I'd never seen that guy out in the news media very much. So they don't care about any other part of Israel.
Yeah, go ahead.
And all the historical parts that are going on, except Jerusalem is the most sacred area. If they wanted to really mess the war up, and the Hamas is still attacking, and the IDF and the Mossad is telling people, if they turn themselves in, stop it, then they could have a truce. You got interjection, interference, or other Saudi countries, other Muslim countries, where, like Qatar or Qatar, and these people will get involved to help out. But at some point in time, if it keeps heating up and heating up, they're afraid of a nuclear event, which I doubt might happen, but they have to save Jerusalem. There's too much sacred religious stuff for all these other religious people, the Muslims and all that, and the Hamas, they don't care. If they kept screwing around, they could just have somebody go over there and blow up the Kaaba over in Mecca. See what I mean? You see, people don't think outside the box. They think, oh, it's only localized. Well, if they screw up, somebody could go over there and blow up the Mecca and the Kaaba. Well, where are the Muslims going to pray when they pray to the east if that place is blown up? See, they might choose some other location, maybe. But that's a spiritual connected thing on the research on that. But other people, most Americans, probably don't study it. I know Americans that are Muslim. I know Americans that are converted Muslim. There was a guy that was Waleed Shubat comes to mind. He was a Yasser Arafat PLO-connected Arab, converted to Christianity, married a Catholic Christian Hispanic girl, and now he's doing speeches on occasion. I haven't talked to him in a few years. But there's an example of people, they know what's going on. So they're trying to get the heck out of Dodge or the Middle East before it gets worse. Hence these people being dropped off to these friendly states.
But to my astonishment, John, we have several reports that Egypt is actually preparing for a tent city.
Yes.
The Gazans know, though, if they leave, they're never going to be allowed to return. That's why I think they're taking such a strong stand, which is in the ride. Of course, man-to-man, Hamas is defeating the IDF, but a massive bombing is moving most of the population to the south, to the Egyptian border. And get this, Antiwar.com reports $14 billion U.S. aid package for Israel crafted to prepare for multi-front war, not just Gaza. The $14 billion in additional military aid for Israel that Biden is seeking is designed not just for operation in Gaza, but to prepare Israel for a multi-front war, the Times of Israel has reported. A senior admin official told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, $14 billion is for Israel to defend itself in a multi-front war and to be sure it can deter a multi-front war. We shall see. John, we're hitting a break. We'll be right back with John Carman. Israel's been escalating airstrikes in Lebanon against Hezbollah. Though many strikes have killed civilians, the fire across the border is a full-blown war, getting Hezbollah fully engaged. And, of course, there are no signs tension will ease anytime soon. Israeli official been threatening to invade if Hezbollah doesn't move back from the Israeli-Lebanon border. But Hezbollah, which is at least 10 times more powerful than Hamas, is unlikely to be pushed around. Meanwhile, the Houthis have hit another British-owned cargo ship. They wouldn't even be hitting British ship, but for the British and Americans to strike Yemen. Israel lies about a land bridge to the Gulf, which suggests that the Yemeni blockade is actually working highly successfully. Israel claims it's circumventing Yemen's Red Sea blockade with a land bridge connecting it to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates via Jordan. This is simply a charade to hide that Yemen's blockage is working. I'm so impressed with the Houthis, John. They have been acting magnificently. Since the beginning of its genocidal war on Gaza, Israel's supply lines have been jeopardized. After Israel closed all of its borders to imports headed to Gaza and struck the Rafah crossing to put it out of order, Hamas attacked the ports of Ashkelon and Ashdod, which were used to import oil and supplies used in the war machine, after which Israel had to halt port operation and shift ships to Eilat, as a genocide in Gaza continues unabated. Yemen took part in the war by blockading Eilat port, which forced Israel to relocate its supply lines to the port of Haifa in the Mediterranean. Last month, Iraq announced an additional blockade on Israel in the Mediterranean, expected to be enforced in February if the ongoing rounds of negotiation between Israel and Hamas end the war fail, as they are certain to do. Activists in Jordan are also calling for a land blockade on the border with Israel. John, I think the prospect for an expanding war are simply overwhelming. In fact, I do not see how they can be avoided. Your thoughts? Here we go. Here's the break I anticipated early. We'll be right back with John Carman.
Okay.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
John, I'm not at all surprised why that there will be an expanded war. I just wonder why Hezbollah has taken so long to get around to it. I think it would have been better had they intervened earlier, but I do expect it will happen. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm trying to monitor all these things on the news. I'm going back and forth checking these things with Russia. They're trying to take actions against Russia because of one guy that was in prison. A dissident, and I get that, but they're escalating. They're overreacting on certain things where they could do it otherwise. But then again, look at what Biden did when he blew up the Nord Stream. Okay, he said it. You know, he admitted doing something about that, and nobody took action on that. And Poland was involved in some other things. All of the surrounding countries, and I'm trying to train people to understand when you say this stuff, you have to say proxy war, false flags, proxy war, third party. That's how the CIA operates for many, many years. That's how they've accomplished to get these people close to these countries by proxy wars. So let's turn it around. If Iran does something, we go after their satellite country or a neighbor? How wussy is that by the United States? If they have proof that Iran did something, then you take a little bit of action over there like Israel did years ago when they flew the military IDF jets to bomb and destroy uranium nuclear plants and bomb-making devices and rockets and ICBM stuff. No problem. I get that. Preemptive strike. But the problem is a lot of people don't understand that if Iran is that powerful, that's not what it is. Obama. He gave them how many billions of dollars to progress their nuclear capability? And if Iran does something, why is Austin or any military general getting up there saying, well, Iran did something today and we're bombing their neighbor?
Yes.
Where's their testosterone?
Yes. Well,
it doesn't make sense, does it? That's about as silly as a high school or an elementary school fight after school or something. So-and-so hit you, and you hit the guy next.
Turning to domestic developments, the trucker was going to lead a boycott in New York City. Chicago Ray has stepped down. He claims, "No one got to me. I ain't scared of shit," he says. But we're, no one who looks at this can be confident. We, the people, know what happened to Chicago Ray. Despite his denials, the enforcers of the deep state made a phone call or left a message under the windshield wipers of his truck like, "Boycott boy, you're going to have a bad accident before your haul is over." Or they made a call to his cell phone like, "If you don't end this boycott bullshit, your family and home will be gone when you get home." Mm-hmm. You can almost see and hear those threats when Chicago Ray posted. I took that video down from Friday because it went viral, and my grandson seen it on TikTok. Newsweek reported Chicago Ray took down his original post and most of the new on Monday, in which he distanced himself from the boycott, called in distress that he was not encouraging anyone to do anything. That post was also later deleted. But but a screen grab shared by Newsweek by progressive Matthias Touch, in which he said, just to be clear, I'm no figurehead of any movement. Newsweek also reported, he said, I'm not leading, nor have I encouraged, nor am I encouraging anyone to do anything other than what they were doing prior to the ruling on Friday in New York City. Does that sound like the way Trucker Chicago Ray talks? Or did it sound like someone dictating a statement to him? John, I think he's been scared off.
Yeah, it sounds suspicious. But again, we have to be careful what we say on the airwaves. We have to be careful to tell people that we don't encourage violence, don't violate the law, just like Trump said before the January 6th incident. And Alex Jones does it all the time, too, as well, of course. But there are a lot of dumb people out there that, you know, you may count across the country. There's certain parts of the states that have a certain culture, and they do tend to raise people that don't graduate high school yet or something. You know, they don't even have their GED, let alone go to college, let alone work in the military or law enforcement or some other type of work. But there are good people out there. It's just that they're not unified properly. They're not getting together, and education should be standard so that everybody has a basic understanding of how things go. And yet if you travel from state to state, it's being more and more divided. I just saw this morning where DeSantis is sending his law enforcement people to assist at the border, I believe over in Texas, which is where a lot of it is needed, to assist them. And I'm so sorry that DeSantis dropped out of the race. You know, if he'd had more money, more support, he would have been such a serious contender. He would have probably got the presidency. I don't know that he would accept any kind of an alternate position if Trump offered it. As vice president would be an interesting idea. I don't see any other choices. And I don't know why they had that girl up there. What's her name? You know, Nikki Haley. It's a waste of time. You know, she's go ahead.
That was the point, John. But Nikki Haley, she was funded by a Democrat mega donor. It's to drag Trump out, you know, keep him having to deal with primaries and all that because there's a competitor. But this weekend, I think tomorrow we have the vote in South Carolina. Trump's ahead by like 30 points. And because that's her home state where she served as governor, I think her repudiation by her home state is going to be the end of the line for Nikki Haley.
Yeah,
I tend to disagree with you about DeSantis. I think Trump is a far stronger candidate than DeSantis. And, of course, since they both reside in the same state, you could not have both. The Constitution precludes a president and vice president coming from the same state. So they couldn't be on the ticket together. There are a lot of names being kicked around. Kristi Noem of South Dakota, you know, the gal from Arizona, the black guy from South Carolina, Tulsi Gabbard is mentioned.
I haven't heard from Tulsi in a long time either.
Well, it's interesting. Get this. She's going to headline a fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago next month. How about that?
Hit on it. I want to expand on that.
Yeah.
DeSantis of Florida. Trump lives in Florida. Think about it. People don't get that. They don't understand the stuff behind the scenes. These people are not what you think they are in the media. Just like when Trump was debating Hillary Clinton, if something happened, you'd be in jail. Well, nothing happened, did it? See, these people are behind the scenes, these millionaires, and they've got and billionaires, and they've got so much money. Like Trump is worth over $5-7 billion, whatever the latest stats are. And he's all worried about some $400 million penalty on a lawsuit thing. Yeah, that's pocket change to some of these people. Chapo Guzman was worth over $250 billion with a B. Baker in drug money. You see what I mean? So it's kind of interesting. But people need to be reminded that no matter what they put out in the media, these people are having lunch together. They're spending time talking. They're talking about politics and stuff. It's almost like what they do in Mexico, Jim. And Jim, it's scary because these guys will sit there and discuss stuff, and when one person wants to say something, the head guy will say, "No, you sit down. You'll get presidency next year, and I'm still doing this right now." And they don't care about the voting, and they've got the best voter ID charts.
During this interview with Laura Ingraham, Trump was asked about possible running mates. The names Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, Byron Donald, Tim Scott, Kristi Noem, and Tulsi Gabbard were all mentioned. Mm-hmm. Tucker wasn't mentioned, but I guarantee you he's also on the list. Of those, who would you like to be his running mate, assuming Trump nails the nomination, since DeSantis is out? I mean, it's pretty obvious that Trump is the nominee. Even Mitch McConnell has referred to Trump as the nominee. Who do you think would be a good running mate for him to choose?
Well, I'd still go with Ron DeSantis. I mean, I've analyzed this stuff very carefully. I've watched what he says, all the words that he's used, the tactics that he's talked about, even as of a couple, not even an hour and a half ago, about sending guys down to the border and what needs to be done. Because he's not a sanctuary state. That's the word I was trying to remember earlier. All the sanctuary states play sanctuary until it gets too much, like up in New York, California, and so forth. And then as soon as they can't handle it, then they start flying people to other locations. But I'm not going to let go of DeSantis. You have to monitor him and really watch him.
How do you overcome the constitutional prohibition against the president and vice president being from the same state?
Well, that could be easily alleviated by Trump having an established residence in another location, kind of like New York, because it's like Howard Hughes.
Except they want to confiscate all of his properties and destroy his business.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just like Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes didn't have an established residency until he set up in Nevada, which is a special state because, go back in years, that's a mafia thing. Then it was CIA mafia thing. It was originally CIA mafia thing in the beginning. It's a non-taxable type deal where you don't pay taxes, but it's covered. You see what I mean? If you go from a different state to a different state, one's a commonwealth, Texas is a republic, you know what I mean? They're playing games with these words. It's like living in D.C. So it's crazy. It's not the same. All he has to do is establish another residence, vote, run the country, do whatever he wants. And that's a good question, Jim, because I've seen the same thing even when I was in Washington, is the fact that these people will establish a residency no different than if they were from Arkansas, like Vince Foster, who had a permanent residency in Arkansas, which means he's an Arkansas resident, but he lived and worked in D.C. and worked at the White House. They play games with that. See what I mean? It's only during the administration time. So they could finagle whatever they want. They can work around it. See what I mean? They always work around it. It's like a bunch of attorneys saying the word up to, you know?
Here's another absurdity. A federal judge Wednesday affirmed a $5 million arbitration award against MyPillow chief executive Mike Lindell in favor of a software engineer at Challenge Data that Lindell had said proved China interfered in the 2020 U.S. presidential election and tipped the outcome to Joe Biden. Lindell said he plans to appeal. Asked if he can afford to pay, he pointed out the breach of contract lawsuit was against one of his companies, Lindell Management LLC, and not against him personally. Of course, we're going to appeal it. This guy doesn't have a dime coming. And now I gather Marjorie Taylor Greene is being told she has to pay $100,000 for not having worn a mask in the Capitol at a time when there was a congressional directive, no doubt from Nancy Pelosi, that they were all supposed to wear masks, and she refused to do it. So this is an old fine they're now asking her to pay.
Yeah, that's
it's
ridiculous.
Amazing, amazing, John, how they go after everybody's money.
Well, that's what they're doing. If you watch who's getting attacked, who's being arrested, who's being charged, and you just mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene. I like Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she doesn't respond to John Carman. Somebody indicated that before and said, yeah, that's what it is. I don't get responses. That's why I have to beg for donations to pay bills. But look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz says, well, I'm practicing the 6-foot rule. If you don't feel comfortable wearing the mask, you do the 6-foot rule. It's real simple. Marjorie Taylor Greene can say, look, I may not have worn the mask 24/7 while I was in Congress or whatever, but I practiced the 6-foot rule. So that means that would overturn that stupid little penalty. They're playing games. Democrats are so stupid about that stuff, and yet they'll play games back and forth. Here's the bottom line, Jim. They don't care. Like Fat Alvin Bragg, P-H-A-T, doesn't care that he tried to charge Trump with something that was already statute of limitations on some BS charge. They don't care. We need to get rid of these people in our country because they don't care about abiding by the laws that we do. 3-tiered justice system, 4-tiered justice system, 5-tiered, you could go on and on. Go ahead.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm very doubtful that DeSantis will be on the ticket with Trump. I think DeSantis crossed the line a couple of times politically, and it's not going to happen. But
that's why they have to be careful what they say all the time. Well,
what do you think about Tucker as a candidate with Trump?
He's not qualified for a candidate, period. He's
Tell
a political
why,
person.
Why you think that?
He's an actor. He's an actor. He's a talking head like all the other ones. Jesse Waters, all the people on the news, they're talking heads. They're script readers. He is not qualified. He's no more qualified than that other guy who is tied into Anderson Cooper. Do you think Anderson Cooper's qualified?
By the way, you were talking about not, being able to nail Hillary. I think she has a get-out-of-jail-free card. I think she's CIA, John.
Well,
of
course, just as is
Anderson Cooper, who I believe has even admitted as much.
Of course. Yeah, they're all tied in. And you said it properly. We used to have those get-out-of-jail-free cards on people that came through the border. And they actually have them. I actually have seen them, and I've confiscated them and talked about them on my website, customscorruption.com, just to throw a little gig on that. But it's worse than CIA. That's a local term. It is deep state. Those people are so deep into what they do and know national secrets. And there's probably still people getting briefed today. Obama, former presidents get briefed. You know that, right?
Yeah.
So you got Obama, you got Bush Jr., you got Clinton, oh my God, and of course Jimmy Carter. So there's a lot of stuff going on with that. But the thing is, if something happens with the continuity of government, somebody brought this term up to me just the other day, if an international thing event happened and they had to move these people out of the United States to a special location, I won't mention Australia. I will not mention New Zealand or a couple other locations outside the northern hemisphere. That's where they would have to start over again in case they totally destroyed the United States, because we don't have any bunkers, yet Russia has bunkers. What do we have? See, why aren't people up in arms about this stuff? Why aren't Americans realizing this stuff? Maybe they're not hearing it for the first time until right now. I don't know. But It's look at my background, too. I have knowledge. You have knowledge. But people don't get it. They have to realize if something happened, they do an EMP, they're all shut down. If you've got an electric car, forget it. If you've got a certain type of a device, forget it. And yesterday they had an event with the cell phones. I guess a lot of people said it was AT&T, and it wasn't just nationally or state to state. They claimed it was around the world. Well, that's satellite interference or a solar flare, at least that's what they claimed. But they tried to say something about China. That's why I use this different satellite bounce in case people are interested off the defprotection.com thing. That stuff seems to work. You know, it goes off a different satellite, you get cloaking, and it's a special GPS blocking. But you'd have to contact me about it and who to contact. But you can contact defprotection.com and talk to them and use my name, and that should help get you in there, supposedly. So, but I hope you're monitoring those things as well, I assume.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
because once they interfere with the communications and the EMP blast takes off, that's it. It can go for years. You know, they're talking about the nuclear winter thing. Well, they've got an EMP thing, too.
Of course. Here's a question that Glenn Beck raising. We should be asking ourselves about yesterday's mysterious cellular outrage. What the hell happened?
Right.
The most affected were AT&T customers with 50,000 outages officially reported at 7 a.m. Eastern. But some Verizon and T-Mobile customers were affected as well. Americans are left wondering whether or not it was a solar flare, which it cannot have been, or would have been far more widespread, or a massive cyber attack, especially considering yesterday it was a cyber attack on cellular systems in Israel. Now, I heard a report on the news today that AT&T said it was their own, you know, service guy entered a wrong number or caused the outage. I wonder if it could be a pilot to see how people are going to react when they have an outage, because I wouldn't be surprised if there's an attempt to take out our communication systems, even including the Internet, if there's a declaration of martial law based upon some fabricated event where they want to round up all the conservatives and Trump supporters as domestic terrorists and subject them to summary trials and even executions, John. I don't put it past this administration.
Yeah, anything's possible with that. And as you're wording the comments about that same stuff, I was thinking about the same thing where they're doing a lot of fraud on the Internet related to getting and collecting people's data. A free attorney consultation, which is nothing. You can call up an attorney, talk to a paralegal. They may talk to you or they may screen the call. And what they do nowadays, and I'm telling people this, it's on several important subjects, medical, attorney, legal. They'll try to get your information. Oh, before we can, with a foreign voice, foreign-sounding voice, Filipino, Chinese, or Asian, or some other country out of the United States. Oh, before we can get you to the consultation, we have to get your name and information. Oh, okay, BS. Your name and maybe a phone number, but maybe an email. But once they get your phone number, that's the key part right there that we're talking about. Then an email is another potential. And then after that, if they ask anything else beyond that, you have to start disagreeing with them and protesting. Excuse me, but that's private information. You don't need my date of birth. You don't need my Social Security number or the last four. And you certainly don't want to give them your mother's maiden name. That's banker type stuff. And they violate that too. So then they'll lie to you and tell you, okay, hold on a second. They'll put you on hold. And I did discuss something with a bank the other day. They're using the same routine. They're not just taking four pieces of information. They're taking six to maybe even eight. That's too much. They've stepped over the line legally. Nobody has the right to have your Social Security number. That's the Privacy Act violation, 1976 or 74 or whatever. And when they switched me over to this other person, it didn't go any further. And then they say, well, we're sorry, Mr. So-and-so. Well, we can't give you a consultation. That's an outright fraud. I immediately typed it up and sent a message to the IC3 unit of the FBI. I encourage everybody to start documenting these complaints, sending it to the FBI online, IC3, IC3U, or IC3.gov, G-O-V. And they have to have the information, phone number they called, who they talked to, try to get names of these people. They're going to lie to you anyway, but get the name anyway and put the website and the ISP number to the website. And you can go to a internet site called Who Is and type in like Morgan Appersand Morgan, which is Morgan and Morgan. Pull up that website and put in Who Is, and they'll give you the actual number, like 153.24. Whatever number. And then that's the number the FBI will look at. Once people start doing that, it will overload them or get them to the point where they have to work on these things. But they're collecting people's information. There you go. So they had a phone number. Ties in exactly with that. I had a call to a guy over in the Midwest, Central Time areas, and he was getting interference of some sort. Could have been real or not, doesn't matter. But you'll know the difference when you get a cut line or it goes blank. You know, hello, hello, are you there? And then it goes off. You just call them back. That's a ping. That's a ping out of Fort Meade or Langley or some other location. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it, John. I think you're right. Meanwhile, would you believe 7.2 million illegals have entered the U.S. under Biden, which is a number greater than the populations of 36 different states, John.
Oh, unbelievable.
7.2 million.
Well, they have to get rid of 5 to 7 billion on the planet. I think they're lining them up. They don't care, but they're tracking where these people are going. Think about that, too. They give them free phones. They're coming across the border. I've got sources at the border telling me people from China are finally coming through, proven, solid proof. They don't speak English, so they have a phone, a smartphone, to talk to a guy who speaks English. Ni hao ma. And then the guy tells them, oh, my friend wants to go to L.A. Okay, tell him it's this much money. He whips out his debit card, and he matches it up with the cell phone, and then they match it up, and then he gets the money. Another guy comes from the Middle East, doesn't speak any English. Same thing, same exact scenario. The translator on the phone tells him where he wants to go, how much money. They match it up to the smartphone thing. They do a transaction. They get the money. It's going on right now. In San Diego, Fox News was covering it this morning. It's going on. People are coming outside the other countries. They can't. One guy was claiming he was gay or something. He had a mask on. And he was from a Muslim country. And if he doesn't leave the Muslim country, they will execute them. Just to give you an idea how they're going back to Sharia law type stuff, you know.
John, we'll be right back after this break.
Yes, sir.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So, John, what's your considered assessment of those 7.2 million illegals? What's going on here as you see it?
Well, it's just, it's not just a number. It's outrageous. I mean, you never would have heard it in history. I mean, they surpassed that record in the first year when they had about a million. So the Biden administration is intently trying to have this as a mass invasion, no different than a Trojan horse in Sparta back when they did the Trojan horse. They're trying to get as many people over here, and you have to look beyond that. Why are they doing that? They're exceeding or superseding the actual natural flow of the immigration process. People have been waiting to be processed in. I've actually talked to people who have been processed under the asylee status thing. They've all been taught to tell them that if they stayed in their country, they would be persecuted or killed or some other unnatural demise.
Which is all bullshit, of course.
Right. And normally when you've got a person who's applying for asylum, I may have even recounted the same incident where a guy was in Brazil. And I said, my God, that's in South America. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 states or countries down or something. You know, you're supposed to go to the adjacent country, and then if that didn't work, you go to the next one. Eventually, somebody's paying money for these people to get them to Mexico. Let's be very clear about this. Obrador is participating in what I view, in my professional opinion, allowing these people to get to Mexico, like the Haitians. I'm sorry, folks, but I haven't seen any white, Asian, other descriptive type people from Haiti other than black. They speak French, Haitian, and maybe barely a little bit, a tiny little bit of English. You know, go back to Papa Doc Duvalier, the voodoo kit guy. And you have to speak Spanish to them to deliver your water from Walmart because they're Uber drivers or whatever. They get $10 a delivery minimum, and they may get a basic salary, but they have nice late model cars. I'll mention a couple of them, like Dodge Challengers. I can't believe it. It's like, my God, there's a guy with a late model car. Well, oh, black guy. Hey, Mr. Haiti, you know, and talk to him. God bless them, you know, if they escaped any kind of persecution or death. you know, because I'm a Christian, I'm spiritual, I'm religious. I mean, I don't want to leave out that possibility that maybe they did come here, and they seem to be okay, the ones I've talked to, although there were a few that were questionable, Muslim descent, but yet that's a job. So they're coming here to work, and yet they spend 2 years in Mexico in this one category. Then they come across under asylee. Then they get a job, and they're here, and they get paid $5,000 a month. Now I'm hearing, for sure, free rent. My God, where am I getting free rent? The state of California is sold out. They will not help me as a former law enforcement, first responder, federal employee in law enforcement, state, local, and federal. And the Democrats of this state are so switched over to communist ideals, they will not help a U.S. citizen born in this country as a U.S. national. And yet they won't help me out. I don't get Social Security. And yet these foreign nationals are getting free rent. Okay. There are people on the street. I talk to almost every day Americans speaking English, born here. They're in the streets and they're not getting help. They're not getting, you know what welfare is in California this week? About $581. And food stamps is about $281. $10 a day is $300 a month, folks. Do the math. That's not enough to pay for $10. And you can't get a burrito for less than that, or tacos, or a burger, or if you go to McDonald's, a don't eat at McDonald's, Carl's Jr.'s, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to pay $7, $8, $9 for something like that. So you see what I mean? So you're very restrictive. You can't buy hot food like a pre-cooked chicken at a Vaughn's. $8.99, $9.99 for a full-cooked, one-pound piece of chicken, and yet you can't pay for that on a food stamp card. Why are they doing that? It's communism. Welcome to communism, folks. We're here. It's happening now. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, John.
Before I get off my rant.
What do you think is going to be the ultimate upshot? I mean, is it Cloward Plevin just to destroy the United States economically? Or
yes.
Do we have an invading army that's going to take up arms, as many of us believe?
No, they're here.
How many different ways is agribusiness behind it because they like the cheap labor?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's antagonizing Latinos and blacks. I mean, they work for what they've got. They're seeing these people get a free ride.
Right.
It's just unbelievable. It's like Biden's trying to buy votes. Does he expect all these people are going to vote for Biden? I mean, they're not even supposed to legally vote.
Well, they just had a decision about voting.
Go ahead.
One of the state Supreme Courts or one of the justices, one of the cases, and I hate the system the way it's working because it's not doing their job fast enough. And they finally figured out, no, foreign nationals are not allowed to come here in the United States and vote. Well, that's generally how it works. That is an overthrow of a government. If you go back to Uncle Adolf, they got the controlling majority in their Nationalist Socialist Democratic Party, whatever it was, back in Germany, and that's how they voted them out. It's the same thing in the United States. The Democrats think they're so smart, they're so slick, that they can get these illegals into the country and let them vote, and even become public officers like police. And I've actually arrested people like that for a living at the border, where a guy was a resident alien and he was a cop that lived in Mexico. You can't do that. You can't do it. You might as well invite the Hessian troops in back in the 1775 era when we had Hessian troops coming from another country, and King George would hire the Hessian troops to come in and fight the American Revolutionary Patriots in the United States back in the 1775 era. Same difference. It's the same. Now, to qualify a proper comment about some of the good people that are coming in, they don't know what's going on yet. All they need to know is that they're trying to get out from a bad situation. Those are the innocent ones. We have to educate those people, every one of them. And I talked to a guy just yesterday who's Middle Eastern. He's been at the same smoke shop, liquor stores, you name it. They sell lottery tickets. They sell drinks and tobacco products, stuff like that. He's been here like 25 years. 25 years. That's his background. I talked to other people of Middle Eastern background. They don't even want to tell you their resume. because they've got something really bad or negative in their background. That's possible, too. Even when the Shah of Iran was deposed, talking to Nixon, they were making all kinds of arrangements, and people were trying to get out of Dodge in the Middle East. They knew it was going on. Problem is, we're not doing anything about it. There's that 10-year plan. We're way beyond 10 years. There was a 10-year plan, if you look at the map or look left to right, from Northern Africa, the Middle East, and work your way to the right or eastbound, then you're going to go through to places like Iraq. Then you're going to get to Afghanistan, Iran. If you pull south a little bit, then you're going to get into the Hindu-Pakistani areas like India, Pakistan, Nepal, and those other countries. Oh, I'm getting incoming calls here. But what do you think, Jim?
Well, I think it's all appalling beyond belief. On a lighter note, did you notice that Google had this Gemini AI source, you know, answering questions and all that, roasted by Elon Musk and conservatives for spitting out diverse images of the founding father, popes, and more? They're all coming out black. Google has apologized for Gemini AI erasing white people. But you can see they're intending to rewrite history. John, it's going to be absurdly out of whack with the truth. Just unbelievable.
Well, let me tell you something about what you just mentioned. You brought up a piece of information I'm aware of. If you think the biowabs in Ukraine or something, most Americans, most people on the planet don't realize that they've got the technology that goes up to and including alien technology. That means that they can scan the planet. And they've got your blood type. They've got your blood samples already. You can bet your bottom dollar that every doctor that's gotten a blood sample is no different than the doctors that got paid extra money from the Pfizer companies, J&J, Moderna, and all those other companies to give a COVID shot, which was a test. And you were all out there that took the jab. You were a monkey or a guinea pig on those tests. But again, I want people to think about their DNA right now. They've got the DNA down so that if they want to scan the planet, they could hit out a frequency no different than the infrared weapon, the directed energy weapon that was used in Lahaina in Hawaii. And if you have a blue outfit, you got a blue painted car, you're probably going to be exempt because of the frequencies. They still have the ability to vaporize Kim Jong-un, just to pick on a dictator somewhere. Sorry, Kim. But if they've got his DNA marked down in their computer, they could locate him on the planet and zap him from outer space from the ISS station, you know, the International Space Station, and the other satellites. And I'm not even including the aliens that are out there in their spaceships and interdimensional stuff. Make sense?
John, I don't know the capabilities they have, but it's sure scary to think they could do those sorts of things.
Exactly.
Absolutely stunning.
That's the stuff they don't want to tell you about. They have the advanced technology, and I've got a DARPA contact or two or three or a dozen. You know, I've studied this stuff for years, you know, since Art Bell. You know, I've known Art Bell from 95 when I was on leave. From customs on an injury thing. But Roswell, I talked to Colonel Philip J. Corso day after Roswell authored back then. So I had all this access of information to talk to certain people, and it didn't just happen. I didn't have to try hard at all to get it. It was like God wanted me to talk to these people because he's grooming me to get into this informational profile so that you realize what's going on. Does the word prison planet sound appropriate now?
Sure.
It's exactly, you know, that.
I read the report about Roswell by Vannevar Bush, who was then the scientific advisor, and it all looked completely legit and authentic to me. What can you share with us, John, about actual ET interactions here on Earth? I mean, this is a subject of widespread speculation, but it seems to me you're in a position to speak with a degree of authority about these matters that isn't common. Please share your thoughts.
Well, I'm doing research right now. I'm looking at a picture of a guy named Howard Hughes when he was young and handsome, 6'3" or 6'4". Amelia Earhart also was flying a plane that was probably a spy plane back in 1937. And then, of course, you had Charles Lindbergh. Well, during the timelines, I was comparing notes because I am doing research connected to Howard Hughes. And there was an excellent book that I was going to mention by Mike Campbell. I think I mentioned him maybe last time as I whip it out of the bag here. Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. Look it up, folks. Get that book because once you read the book, I skipped through it, scanning through it, and I came across a guy's name who used to work at the Department of Justice. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. But after he left Department of Justice, he went to the Secret Service. Now, that's unusual, very unusual. Apparently, during the time frame that Amelia Earhart was captured in 37, ended up getting executed allegedly in 39. 1939 is the time that Howard Hughes was flying around and did the world trip around the top of the planet in 4 days. You can't tell me that any pilot that's flying around the planet in those days, right after Uncle Adolf was in power in 33 and Japan was winding up a war plan to take and encroach on all the micro islands in the Pacific, the Marshall Islands, Micronesias, all the islands to encroach up to the point where they had Japanese on all the islands up to the point of December 7th, 1941, when they had the attack on Pearl Harbor, and FDR knew about it. So therefore, all these things are interconnected, but they're not putting the dots together. So with the alien presence thing, to get to your point, Howard Hughes used to meet with a guy named George Van Tassel in the desert just north of Joshua Tree, north of me by 200 miles. Just north of that is Big Rock. Look up George Van Tassel. And the rumor was, or the joke was, or the sarcasm was, well, how come Howard Hughes goes out in the desert so much? He likes it out there. It's clean. According to the DiCaprio version, The Aviator is a good way to look at it. Tommy Lee Jones' 1977 version, because it was right after Howard Hughes allegedly died in 76, then they start releasing the movies. Well, apparently there was all these projects that Howard Hughes was involved with in the CIA. So I'm trying to connect the dot as quick as I can. But remember the meeting with Eisenhower in 1953 in the desert, Edwards Air Force Base, out in the desert, just one of the meetings. And they had two Secret Service agents that were there that were part of the 1963 in Dallas thing in the limo with Kennedy. But they had a meeting, they had exchange of information, and they don't want to tell you that there was a guy there with the initials HH. So it wasn't Hubert H. Humphrey, it wasn't Hugh Hefner, it wasn't Harry Houdini. That's usually my other punchline joke. It was Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes was working with the CIA, and they claim that they tricked him under the K-129 book in front of me. I've got the book right here by Josh Dean, how the CIA used Howard Hughes to steal the Russian sub. Okay, that was in the same time frame that Nixon was president. Nixon was not kicked out of the White House because of Watergate. That is a cover story. 18 minutes on Rosemary Wood's recording that was being erased by Nixon was talking to Howard Hughes. That's what that was. They don't want you to know that Howard Hughes donated like $1 million to Donald Nixon, Nixon's brother back then. Howard Hughes paid congressmen and senators for years to get what they needed, and he worked getting these projects even out of his own money. Imagine how rich a billionaire would be back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s. Back in those days, he had so much money, he could actually support and underwrite the government of the United States, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC, and these contacts. So if he's out there having fun with the aliens and looking at their spaceships and realizing the technology, what else do you imagine? That's where Area 51 is becoming full force back then. In the 50s, Roswell was 47, but then they had incidents in other countries, Brazil, Europe, Russia, and so forth. So they're all tying in. Even back to Uncle Adolf in 33, supposedly, as well. So the alien presence is here. I get asked all the time by people, even by people who are not from this country. One in particular was an Islamic person. And he asked me straight out, John, do you believe that aliens exist? And of course they do. They're here. Believe it. Interdimensional, the whole nine yards. I've seen actual proof of it. We're not talking about
the 7-2 million illegal aliens crossing our border. We're talking about extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah.
Forms of life that came from other planets or even galaxies. Tell us more, John.
They're interdimensional. They're at the top of the planet at the North Pole. That's where Richard Byrd flew into the hole at the North Pole, which is now restricted, by the way. So any place that it's restricted for travel by civilians, unless they have special permission, they don't get there. You can't go to the Antarctic. That's where Richard Byrd got his behind kicked. He went to the North Pole. They have Arcturians is the term. Arcturians, I think. That's one of the species. There's like 57 of them, the Heinz 57 joke, but there's like 87, 88 different varieties or more. And I keep up on this stuff as it happens as well. But anyway, Richard Byrd met with him for 4 hours. He did not miss 4 hours of fuel when he went back, went right back up in his plane and flew back to his location. You got underground, underwater facilities off the shores of Malibu. You've got them in the Gulf of Mexico. You got the connections with the pyramids. You've got connections with the ley lines all across the planet and across the equator. You've got these meetings with different organizations, and they supposedly had the thing with the guy from Venus, Valiant Thor, who specifically met with representatives of the United States, claiming, like Eisenhower, claiming to give us energy, free water, pure food, pure water, the technology, high technology about the alignment of the molecules, which means if they wore a special suit, it was impervious to everything, no different than a Nomex flight suit for a pilot these days, but it was impervious to being penetrated, would be like a bulletproof flight suit. But you couldn't, it didn't have a zipper, it didn't have buttons. It was like you could just open it up with your fingers, take it off, put it back on, and just put your, like Velcro. You could put your fingers and slide it over like Velcro, but it wasn't Velcro. The technology is unbelievable. Valiant Thor is a documented case where he landed near the Pentagon, was taken by Secret Service, of course, to the White House to meet at that location. This is after the meetings with the other aliens, other species with Eisenhower. And you know who the vice president was when Eisenhower was president. You got Vice President Nixon. Nixon was privy to all this information because the vice president is the right-hand man to the commander-in-chief to do a lot of these projects, go do meetings, go represent so-and-so. It's the president's right-hand man. You can't get any closer unless you start going to the chief of staff and people like that, but they're not high up enough. But I know I'm kind of shotgunning this a little bit, but there's so much. Now, the one in Las Vegas.
I've seen videos of little or short grays. I mean, it looked like authentic video from Russia, presumably.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were walking around. I mean, this has to be a sexually reproducing species. Tell us about these creatures, well, John, whatever you can tell us about them.
Well, whether they're sexually reproducing may not be accurate because supposedly that's why they're mixing with our DNA. They want to get women. Ask Whitley Strieber, poor Whitley Strieber. They would come down and use his body as a medium so they could put something inside of him, grow it for 6 to 8 weeks, and come back and extract it. That's kind of a weird story, but that's supposedly the angle. But then there are females who have donated their ovum, and they would take sperm from a donor. I know of another guy I've interviewed personally. So I've actually done research, investigative research, talked to people who are victims, implants, who are also abductees and so forth. And they will use the ovum and sperm from humans, like the Betty and Barney Hill case back in the, 50s, I guess. That's a very good example. And it could have been for people ahead of our future from other species. And a lot of people think that they're outside the planet, they're from another planet. That's not necessarily true. We have people on the planet, in the planet, under the water. They could travel in the water with a bubble around their space saucer or whatever, and it doesn't even touch them. That's the technology. Ask Bob Lazar. Same
you're
stuff.
You're saying these could be extraordinary species that have evolved here on Earth?
They've evolved because some of them are coming back, like the famous interview with the alien interview. The story profile was he came back because there was a war ahead of us, so they're trying to prevent the war by going back in time, but they're also, they experience the problem with reproductive ability. Right now, the Democrats are giving jabs, and that's going to destroy the ability because the sperm and the ovum are being damaged right now.
Yes, yes. I have a problem with the whole idea of going back in time for the reason that time is defined in terms of causal processes of events. We especially like to use periodic or repeating processes like the rotation of the Earth on its axis, which takes place approximately 24,000 miles an hour at the equator. So we divide it into 24 hours that make a day. Then we have the moon revolving around the Earth periodically, roughly a month. We have Earth revolving around the sun, defining a year. There are atomic clocks because they seem to be the most highly reliable. They're used for very precise measurements. Now, causal processes involve the expenditure of energy. And unless you can reconstitute that energy, I don't see any way in which that dispersal of energy can be reconstituted to allow travel back in time.
Electromagnetic.
John, we got a break here.
Yep.
And when we return, I'll open up the lines for callers. Stand by. John Carmen, we'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We have a caller, John. I believe this is Brian from Kansas City. Let me give out the number, 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727. And, of course, I'm glad to hear from Brian. But others, you're welcome to call and participate in the conversation. Brian, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
When you start talking about aliens, you're in my wheelhouse because, you know, I do this Kundalini yoga, chakra dhyana stuff twice a day for over 10 years. And what happens, it raises your vibration. Okay. We used to do it on Sundays. We don't anymore, but there was a guy that showed up that would do it for 50. He'd done it for 50 years. And when he was doing it, if you looked over at him, he was becoming invisible, and you could see the wall behind him, okay? Mm. His vibration was getting up so high. Well, now my vibration's going up, and I see these beings because, you know, when you're in the higher vibration, they're there. They're not in our vibration, and there's, you know, there's Octurians, there's Osea Carr that I talk about, and Paul just goes, this drives me nuts. There's Andromedans. Okay, the leader of the war against the dark are the Andromedans. It's being named Mariah on the Andromedan Council of 12. I've talked to her. And the Dracos are, and the Sia Carr and the Greys are the dark aliens. And the Dracos really suffered a huge defeat a few years back. So if you're in the astral and etheric planes now, they're not there, okay? They're pretty much gone. And I used to bring them into my house, and what I would have to do is get salt and olive oil and salt my property, put olive oil on the corners, and bring in these divine beings named Senzians, and then they could be on my property, and then we'd talk telepathically. But now I don't have to do it. They're just running around everywhere. Where, you know, a few years back they couldn't. Okay, there's a lot of Andromedans in South Carolina, Octurians there. The Octurians kind of protect the Andromedans because there's a lot of dark in South Carolina, especially Charleston. That's why the Civil War started in Charleston, South Carolina. Palladians look like us, and their women are just stunningly beautiful. They're just so gorgeous. In fact, I had an affair with one of them. She's in the non-physical, and I was in the physical. And, you know, You know, that sounds crazy, but if you were feeling what I was feeling, it was really pretty real. So, yeah, he's spot on with all the aliens.
So they are sexually reproducing.
Well, yeah, oh yeah. I don't know much about them on their home planets.
You're talking about from another planet. John, I thought, was talking about terrestrially evolved species that are just very different from others with which we're familiar. But
Jim, is they incarnate in human bodies. Your Dracos are incarnated as the Jews, okay? Or the Siakar incarnated them. And the Greys, okay? Dick Cheney's daughter, what's her name? Okay, she's got a lot of Greys around her. She's really bad. The Greys are just horrendous. And
What do you mean when you say they are horrendous? What does that mean?
They're so bad. This Mariah, who's head of the Andromeda Council of 12, said that anywhere the Greys are in the universe, the planet ends up destroying itself. Okay, mm-hmm. They just end up destroying everything.
Like another Maldek.
And,
kind of like Maldek or one of the other places.
Yeah, and in fact, you can go on the internet and buy Centauri Stone, okay? And what that is, it's a planet that was blown up probably by these Greys, and you get a piece of that planet, and consciousness souls can be entrapped in crystal, okay? Crystal is something that these souls can transport through. And so I have staffs that I made, and I've got some Tommy Stone on them because they really hate the dark. So they're really good on these staffs. And, you know, I told you a few programs ago, and they went and completely cut it out, is all those lifetimes of Christ. So I talked to the higher self of Christ, and he showed me how to make these staffs, and they work. I mean, when I use them, in the middle of the winter in a Quonset hut-shaped building with 20 degrees, my buddy and I were in there with these staffs, flipping them around, and we created a dust devil. Okay, how do you create a dust devil in 20-degree weather in the winter?
Brian, I worry, you know, your reports sound so fantastic that they're very difficult to believe, and most of us are not in any position to verify any of these claims, which makes it very problematical. We do have another caller, Paul, join the conversation.
Well, thank you for bringing Art Bell back to Revolution Radio. You know, there's a couple of things. Here's the first one, and I just, again, it's one of my pet peeves, right? But earlier in the show, you talked about, you know, the Democrats and, you know, getting these illegal aliens, you know, to vote and, you know, so on. And it's like, this is never the purpose, and they don't care about the vote. They don't care about elections. It's got nothing to do with it. As I mentioned before, it's all about destroying our country, and it's a racial war. I mean, that's really all it is, and that's what they're doing. There's no need to look any deeper than that. So forget about this idea about these people voting. It's absurd, and it's unimportant in the extreme. As far as your guess, it's interesting. You know, he used the word shotgun, which I'd say, okay, that's fairly accurate. There was just a lot coming out there in the last 20 or so minutes before the break, and a lot of it was, I would call it, some of it, interesting. A lot of it was kind of disjointed and, you know, disconnected, because a lot of these things he was mentioning were separated by, in some cases, many decades. And, you know, listen, I used to go to these conventions, these UFO conventions. I used to listen to Art Bell, and a lot of it was quite interesting. I'm not sure how much I ever really totally believed. I was open to believing a lot of it. But now, as time has gone on, and I've discovered so much of the fraud of this world, as you know well, Jim, because you document it, I believe almost none of it. Now, I'm open to the idea of the North Pole. Okay, there's a lot of very interesting things, especially from the past, including, you know, previous centuries with illustrations and maps where it's like, okay, are they just making this up or is this something that's real? I don't believe for one second that they have any technology that they can beam down from space to hurt us biologically with our DNA. I do believe that they have, these microwave weapons and directed energy weapons, yes. But as I stated so many times with the notion of biolabs and bioweapons, if they could create some sort of biological agent that they could disperse to make us all sick or to kill us, this is something that they would just do and not say anything, okay? The whole reason for the scare campaign of the virus, okay, or the pandemic, was to get us to take these injections. And, you know, in other words, they have to have a way to physically get into our blood, into our system, to make us ill that way. I have zero fear of, you know, again, your guess could differ, but I don't believe the space station is real. There's been too many videos exposing the fraud, the green screen glitches and everything else of these
space station
videos.
Good point.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, they fake all the Mars landings because they don't go and they can't go, just like they faked all the moon landings because they can't go and they don't go. So, therefore, we're left with what is real. What can we put our hands on and measure? And I am open to the spiritual realm. I'm not sure I'm open to this term interdimensional, which I've heard forever. And again, just so your guest knows, and I'll be done in one second. I, again, used to go to these. I loved them. You know, I used to go to these UFO conventions. I used to listen to Art Bell all the time. I ordered books from authors that had appeared on there, and I read them. And, you know, I'm fascinated by it all. But the most real thing I ever saw was Dr. Roger Lear and the implants that he took out of people. I don't have any explanation for that.
The implant he took out of people.
Yeah,
hey, can I get
like
to
what
your
Jeff Wednesday talked about.
Hang on, Brian. Go ahead, John.
I said, can I get Paul. The caller's first name and ask permission if he wants me to call him sometime?
It's Paul.
Paul.
Yeah,
yes.
Paul from California.
Paul. Okay, Paul. Yeah, we'll have to talk off the air because you sound like you've got some knowledge. But a lot of the stuff you touched on is real, but go ahead.
I was going to say, we're both here in California, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're up north.
Bay Area, yeah. Yeah, no, the stuff you said about Howard Hughes is absolutely fascinating. Oh, and that reminds me, too, you mentioned a movie from the 70s with Tommy Lee Jones about the same, similar
that's,
to...
That's The Amazing Howard Hughes, 1977, which is right after he allegedly died. Then you got The Aviator with Leonardo DiCaprio, which also fills in other parts of the puzzle, 2007.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I enjoyed The Aviator, but I'm not familiar with the other one, so I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. But every time you look at something, I have to analyze it differently because they're letting out little bits and pieces, which are very basic knowledge. And I go to other sources. And there's some lady, I watched her YouTube, and I tried to compliment her and reach out to her. She's really resistant because she's trying to control something. These people who don't have my background, and I'm not trying to be arrogant about it at all. I happen to have a background at the top secret levels, worked at the White House, all these things that people don't understand. Howard Hughes was in these top secret projects, and he was forced to go in to shake the hand of FDR. And I'm looking at this photograph, and I go, wait a minute. He's not happy. He's doing it because he has to for publicity purposes. And then I had it confirmed by another person who said exactly that's what he did it for. So after that, he had another plane crash and then other things are happening. But I could tell you all kinds of things that it would take hours, but I'm only limited to the time frame I've got. So.
Right. No, that would be absolutely interesting. So you would claim then that Howard Hughes was a patriotic American then?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the stuff about the anti-communist stuff was very real. But
did you like the film The Aviator with DiCaprio? Did you think that was authentic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's accurate. But every time they do a movie on something, they put something else out. Even the movie with Hilary Swank, who I like as an actress, did a movie about Amelia Earhart. That was a psyop by the CIA to cover up the fact that she was captured, and they made it look like she died in the movie and crashed. Okay, you see what I mean? That's Hollywood CIA connected stuff. It's propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And why did they want to conceal that she'd been captured and executed, John?
Because she was taking pictures and had cameras. And I talked to one of my friends who's high up enough to know the same thing. Why would they take out a Morse code capability out of the plane? They are building an alibi to make it look like she crashed and she didn't. The book that I quoted to you a while ago, and I've talked to this guy,
yep,
Mike Campbell, get the book, Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, and you'll see information in there alone where they had witnesses that saw Amelia Earhart, who landed and was captured by the Japanese and was allowed to live to about 1939,
John,
you see.
John, so what I'm asking is, what I'm asking, John, is why did they conceal the truth?
Can you spell spy?
That she was actually conducting spying for the CIA?
Well, she was doing a favor.
No.
Let's sugarcoat it a little bit. She was doing a patriotic duty because she was asked to do something. Hey, aren't you flying over the islands and all this other stuff? Well, you wouldn't mind taking some pictures for us, would you? Oh, no problem. No problem. Google Earth wasn't around back then. They didn't have a lot of things. Every one of those planes, I'm telling you, even Lindbergh probably had a camera with a Kodak or a Brownie or some other device taking pictures. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of stuff I know. The very tip. There's so much stuff behind all this stuff. People don't get it. Why would FDR cover it up? Why is there a relationship going on with Amelia Earhart and certain people like Eleanor Roosevelt? Why are they funding all these projects going around the world? They're taking pictures of certain parts where nobody ever, ever, ever did take pictures and map out and do all these programs where they got islands out there with Japanese encroaching on Pearl Harbor, to be specific on that one area alone. Why would Howard Hughes travel around the top of the earth and go to Paris and then go to Moscow? Think about it. Moscow. That was right before the war. And then afterwards. Go ahead.
I want to return to Paul's assessment about this business about ETs and, you know, evolved aliens or other species.
Well, that's a multifaceted comment. There are ETs. There are evolved. There are interdimensional beings. There are people beings under the planet. They have electromagnetic machinery. Ask Bob Lazar. It's electromagnetic, but they use the radioactive, 115, I get it mixed up, 235, 115 element to develop the electromagnetic force field. Once the force field is done, they can go interdimensional. They can go under the water. They can go through the planet. They can go outside the planet. And they just had a landing on the moon yesterday, and I looked up there. I couldn't see it. Joke. You know, it was full moon last night. But we're still being lied to. They're doing it all the time. We have people on Venus, and they say, oh, it's too hot for Venus. It's 114 degrees on the surface. Who said anything about the surface?
On this, John, on this topic.
Yeah, I want to get...
Can I say something real quick?
I'm going to bring you back, Brian. I want to get Paul's take on what he thinks is right and wrong about all this. Paul, your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to basically bring John into this because I'm sure he thinks in a very similar way about Admiral Byrd and the South Pole.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, we're probably all familiar with, and Jim, you probably have seen it, that classic Admiral Byrd interview on some television show sponsored by Longines, by the way, watches. Where he basically said that there was, more land and resources back there that would boggle the mind. And that's why you can't go to Antarctica, because they're hiding from us what I firmly believe is other lands or other worlds and other resources. Okay. So what do you have to say about that, John? This is what I actually think.
That's been confirmed that they even Obama invited Neil Armstrong. And he had a panic attack. They invited religious leaders. They've got aliens down there in the ice. They've got a base that's been there since before Uncle Adolf. And that is a restricted area. Every country has their flag in certain sections of the Antarctic. And even when Uncle Adolf left Berlin prior to the alleged bunker incident, he lived out the rest of his life down in Argentina in Barilache, which is a plane flight away to the Antarctic. So he could go back and forth if he wanted to. They've got such technology down there. They're not. It's a big secret. And it's below the equator. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead, Brian.
That's why I was so wanted to talk about Sophia's small storm so bad, because she stumbled on something she didn't understand, that Mariah, who heads the Andromedan Council of 12, she'll come in and I'll look in her third eye and then I'll have dreams. And what she basically told me was that one figurine that was the Wittendorf Venus figurine was actually their technology that they used to hack the Matrix. That figurine looking like our brain stem, this reality funnels through our brain stem and whatnot, and they could use that figurine to hack and then change what the dark were doing in this reality. And so I just wanted to tell her all this stuff. And I could explain to her why the Egyptians women painted that eye of Horus on the side of their eyes. She explained that too. So there's a lot more going on sometimes than people realize. And all of this higher dimensional stuff, it channels through crystals, okay? Gold is actually something that conducts that Holy Spirit. I don't want to say quantum mechanical energy because Paul will have a meltdown. But anyway, so it conducts through crystals, and gold is a conductor of it. That's why the Egyptians had that gold cobra up on their third eyes, because that helped bring up the kundalini. It's why they wore a gold plating on their arm to bring up the kundalini.
So, okay, but here's the thing. All right, Brian, okay, and I think Jim will agree with this. So some of what you say is interesting. It's entertaining. We all like you as a person, but a lot of times when you start going, nobody can follow you. I mean, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I know. In other words, Paul, if you would see, that's what drives me nuts about you is the fact that if you were doing what I do twice a day, you would start getting what I get. Okay. Because we don't have our full facilities. We are lacking our third eye and we're lacking our telepathy. And when you do what I do.
Speak for yourself. I have a pituitary gland and it's wide open right now. You know what that means, right?
Okay, well, good. Then you can see in the higher dimensions too. So,
well, I'm still trying, but if you got a date with one of those ladies, I want you to send it over to me, okay? On your next meditation.
So, I mean,
let's do an experiment.
Do you want me to do what now?
I want you to make an arrangement for a contact with one of these beings to me. Within the next couple hours or tonight, let me know. Maybe I'll touch base because I got your number there, Brian.
Right.
Yeah, so you can touch base.
We can do an experiment. I can prove it. I've had contacts too, and I've done real serious meditational stuff for years, and I've had contacts. I've had paranormal incidents. I live next to a church. My pituitary is wide open. And believe me, when I pray or wish or ask for something, it comes to me even by contact. I've been doing this recently because I've been doing like remote viewing. So you're tying into the same subjects. It's just terminology. That's all.
Right. So here's all
I would just call in Mariah of the Andromedan Council of 12. Just when you do it, just call her in and she'll show up.
Brian,
I want to give Paul a final word here. Go ahead, Bo.
Okay, so look, here's all I meant by that. It's like trying to describe a dream you had to someone. They weren't there. They couldn't see it. They didn't perceive it. And so it's you know, when you talk about all this, like gold and crystals and the eye of Horus and the head of the Andromedan Council, it's just literally, again, it's somewhat of interest, but it means nothing and you can't follow it because it's like trying to tell somebody else about a dream you had. You're the one that had the dream and there's no way that you can convey it. Now, if you could show it in video format and they could watch the dream with you, then they could understand it. So I'm not saying it's totally out there, but I just want you to understand sometimes, Brian, that when you you this mix is... all these things together, you can't follow it. That's
all. Philosophically, this is why, you know, subjective experience is not transferable to other persons for validation. So, I mean, Paul's point is impeccable. This is part of the problem with individuals who claim to have had encounters with God or Jesus or Confucius or Muhammad, for all that. I mean, they claim to have these encounters. Well, what in the world happened? There are psychological explanations why someone could believe they had an encounter without them having actually had an encounter that was real in the sense that one would normally interpret the meaning of those words. And I just have to add, for the sake of clarification for the audience, I find all this stuff we've discussed this last segment of the show today fascinating, but I have no idea what to make of it. I don't even know what to make about the Antarctic stuff, which appears to be better and more easily confirmed than others. So I just want everyone to know I'm open-minded about it, but I'm also cautious and skeptical and certainly wouldn't claim to agree with everything that's been said. But I'm glad you're having the opportunity to say it. I believe that many in the audience are going to find it just as fascinating as I do, even if they're no better able to make heads or tails of it than am I. John, I want to thank you for today. You were just wonderful being my co-host, and I look forward to our future ventures together here. Would you like to add a final thought, John? Go ahead.
Yeah, we need more time on the alien subject because I got so many years of experience and research, and I still keep contacts with my DARPA friends. I bounce stuff off certain people all the time. Certain things we can't even talk about because it's still restricted. So that will give you an idea of the level. So the stuff about Antarctic, the joke about there's more Germans in outer space than has pills, the German markings on saucers in Antarctica all tie in. There's all kinds of stuff.
Listen, all right, John, listen, let's program next Friday.
Sure.
Well, we'll just do the first 30 minutes on the latest news, and then we'll turn to these subjects, and we'll expect Brian and Paul to join and others who will be welcome. Paul, do you have a final thought?
Yeah, there's a great scene and line in the movie Contact where he asks her, he says, "Do you love your father?" And she says, "Yes," and he says, "Prove it." And that's the thing, that so emotions are real, and a lot of things that people experience subjectively are real.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.